you for the sacrifice of praise. Thank you for an opportunity just to come and gather in your house, Lord. I pray for the people that are here in this service. I pray this message would speak to our hearts, that it would be personal and real and relevant. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to finish up talking about it today. We talked about how the Holy Spirit is nothing other than the Spirit of God. And how when you and I come to a place where we surrender, where we sacrifice, and where we get tired of trying to do everything on our own, we can invite and welcome the Holy Spirit to come into our life, and boom, we get power. Everybody shout power. Power. Power to overcome your sin. Power to control your thought process. Power. It just gives us power like the world can't give us. It gives us power from heaven. And then last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is our helper. How many of you would say, like, I need help throughout the week? Help. The Holy Spirit is our paracletos. It gives us counsel and it gives us guidance. And when we're in this marriage or we're in this relationship, sometimes the Holy Spirit will nudge us and say, hey, just chill. Maybe you don't need to say anything right here at this moment. Or maybe the Holy Spirit, when we're on our job, the Holy Spirit says, stand up and speak the word of God. Speak truth. The Holy Spirit gives us power, and the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and counsel. Today we're going to close the series out, and we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit helps us live lives of sanctification. And sanctification, I realize it's not a word that we use in our vocabulary. It's not a word that most of us even know what it means, but it's in the Scripture, and so the Holy Spirit helps us be sanctified. What does that mean? Tell me, let's start right off the bat. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be set apart. It means that we're saved from the sins of this world. It means we're saved out of the mud and the muck and the mire. And now that we have been saved and cleansed and born again, it means that we set our lives apart, that we dedicate our lives, that we are allowing our lives to be purified so that we will be more like God. And I realize that this is old-fashioned. I realize we don't teach and we don't preach this much, but the Scripture says this. You know what God said? God said, you need to be holy because I am holy. And we don't preach a holiness message anymore. We have preached a watered-down gospel in America. We've watered it down, and we've said, as long as we believe, everything's going to be fine. You don't have to repent. You don't have to make changes in your lifestyle. You don't have to change your attitude. We have bought the lie of the enemy, and I'm going to prove to you through Scripture how it is destroying you and I from the inside out. How it's destroying our country, how it is destroying our school system, and how it is even destroying our churches. Once we get saved, we start the process of sanctification, of getting better every day of our life. Because let's be real. Can we be real? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. When you got saved and when I got saved, boom, our spirit was totally changed. Our spirit, when we got saved, our name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. When we got saved, that big chalkboard that had all of our sins on it, the blood of Jesus erased every one of those sins. Come on, somebody. And we got to start over with a new slate. My spirit got saved, but my tongue still needed some work. Can I get a witness? Because I've been saying some words and saying some things. And boy, you know what? I might not could beat you up with my fingers or my hands, but I could beat you down with my tongue. I had to learn. Shut up, Will. I had to learn. That's my son back there. You need to learn to rein your tongue in. I'm just saying. Let's pray for Will right quick. Like my tongue wasn't saved. Like I got saved. But I had been doing some things and drinking some ways and living in a way. My habits had to change, and that was hard. I had to deny. Some of us, when we get saved, how many of you know, we got saved with a dysfunctional mind, and our mind was still jacked up. So we have to learn every day to be better. We have to grow in holiness. We have to grow in sanctification and go, today I am better with the words that come out of my mouth. The next day, my mind is a little bit better. I'm taking on the mind of Christ and the mind of my Father. The next day, my actions, I can't just outburst in anger. It is you and I learning to grow closer to God and be more like our Heavenly Father. That's what sanctification is. And it's lifelong journey. Like we do this. We do this in every area of our life except our spiritual lives. Like some of us like to rope. So I'm sorry. You cannot just go down to the West Texas Vet Supply or go down to Teske's and buy you a new rope and go down to 5D and buy you a hat and get it creased, and all of a sudden, by God, you're a roper. Like, you can do all that, but you got to rope the dummy. Like, you got to learn to ride a horse. Like, you got to eventually start roping some real cattle. Like, we learn and we get better. Some of you own businesses, and when you start out with this business, you want to get better, and you want to make more money, and you want to spend less. Like me as a preacher, I started out, and I know I'm not really good, and I don't need to hear an amen from none of you, but I'm better than I used to be because I've worked hard to try to be a better communicator and be a better pastor. We strive to be better at everything in our life, and for some reason, when it comes to our spiritual journey, we get fat, sassy, and lazy and think because we're saved, that's all we got to do. There is danger in stopping your growth. There's danger in getting to a place where we think that we've got this thing figured out. Sanctification. Every day, getting better and better and better. This cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power to live sanctified lives. It's His Spirit, which when we yield our spirit and His Spirit comes in, and it allows us to operate the way God the Father would. Today, I'm going to read you about four passages of Scripture. You get no PowerPoint today. I'm just going to go old school because this is an old school message. It's a hardcore message. They would say, oh, it's a hellfire and brimstone kind of message. Yeah, it is. But it's real, and it's from the Word of God, so I'm just going to preach it that way. So just look at your neighbor right quick and say, hey, you better just get a hope because it's going to be a little wild. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Here's what the Word of God says. For this is the will of God. How many of you ever wonder what the will of God is for your life? We talk about the will of God. We were even in Sunday school or back in my day, we learned this at elementary school. How many of you know this prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We learn to pray for the will of God to be done in our life. But what is that? What is God's will for you and me? According to 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, our sanctification. That's God's will. Not that we be perfect, but that we strive to be better every day. That we strive to hold our tongue. That we strive to not act the way we used to act. That we strive not to do the old habits. That is the will of God, that we would be sanctified and live sanctified lives. Now, we're going to talk about some stuff here for a minute because Paul's going to go on down and he's going to list some things that are struggles for you and I. These struggles that I'm about to read, they were struggle for people in biblical times, and they're struggles for you and me today too, whether we want to admit it or not. And the first thing on the list, Paul says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that is, that you would abstain from sexual immorality. Sex. Sexual immorality. Sex outside of the confines of biblical marriage. Whether it be male and female sex, whether it be male on male sex, female on female sex, whatever you want to call it, sex outside of the confines of biblical marriage is danger. It is killing us. It is destroying us. We are created to be sexual beings. You need to understand that. You crave sex. I crave sex. We crave sex to get married. People want to get married and have babies. God created us to be that way. And what God created to be beautiful within the confines of marriage, what God created to be beautiful and a union that could not be replaced, the enemy has taken sex and he has destroyed our nation with it. And he has destroyed our younger generations. And we don't want to talk about it, and we don't want to preach about it, but it is what it is, and what it is, sex is a killer, and sex is taking over in America. Pornography is at an all-time high. It is easily accessed here. You know what? We talk about sex or pornography. Back in the day, it was an old Playboy hid between the mattresses that some young dude stole somewhere or something. Nowadays, you know what statistics say? That women are almost as addicted to pornography as men are. It's everywhere. And I know, can I tell you this? Listen to me. This is where it creeps in. This is where it creeps in. This is where we lose the sanctification process, because I'm going to be real with you, because many of you sitting in this place today, raising your hands, carrying your Bible, wanting to hear a gospel message, you allow movies and you allow TV shows to come into your home that distort your mind, where they're sleeping around, where they're having sex, where it's same-sex marriage, and you think it doesn't matter, but it's getting in your mind and the enemy is using it. And if if you have young children in your home, it is affecting them and distorting what sex really means to be. Sex is killing us. Immoral sex is killing America from the inside out. And to abstain from sexual immorality. And then the scripture says this. The next thing, Paul starts listing it. Abstain from sexual immorality, and that we should know how to possess our own vessel in honor and glory to God. Do you know how you act and how you react and how I conduct myself outside of this church house on Sunday? It matters to the glory of God. Possess yourself in honor. Control yourself. Control your tongue. Control your temper. Don't be going around just losing it all the time. The way that we act matters. Sanctification. So we first abstain from sexual immorality. Then we learn how to conduct ourselves like a man or woman of God. And the next thing is this. It says that we wouldn't transgress men or defraud brothers or sisters in any manner. Some of us, we're saved, but we're still going around and we're so mad and pissed off at somebody else that we're harboring unforgiveness and bitterness, and we're still mad and we're still trying to get back at everybody, and we're still hoping things don't go good for them, and we're still hoping that their marriage falls apart because our marriage falls apart. Stop trying to get back at other people. All you are doing is letting the enemy distract you from what God is trying to do in your life. Let God be God. He is the judge. God will reward us for what we did right, and he'll punish us for what we did wrong. Quit carrying it around. Sanctifying, learning these things a little bit more. The Bible says, verse number 7, 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity. Like, God didn't save us and cleanse us so we could still dabble in impure lives. But he called us to sanctification. Verse number 8 is so very strong. I want you to hear this. Verse number 8, so he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but he is rejecting God who gives the Holy Spirit. For he who rejects this, the process of sanctification. For he who rejects to grow, she who rejects to control yourself, he who rejects sexual immorality, he who gets saved but doesn't continue to carry out a process of sanctification, if you and I do that, we're not rejecting man, but we are rejecting God. Wow. Many of us are messed up. We're dysfunctional. We're fouled up. We're full of anger and hate, and we're full of disgust. And you know what? Our lives are not, God's not being glorified in our life, and we're not getting our prayers answered. And you know what we're doing? We're going, well, it's my mom and daddy's fault. Well, it's the government's fault. Well, it's my ex-spouse's fault. The fact of the matter and the truth is, if God is not moving in your life, it's because you have rejected the process of sanctification. And when you reject the process of sanctification and growing, the Bible says you're rejecting God. That's tough. And when we do that, when we choose to be saved and not be sanctified, we reject God. And when we do that, we shoot our own self in the foot, because the Bible says we reject God who gives the Holy Spirit. And we can't live sanctified lives without the Holy Spirit. So when we choose not to be sanctified, we reject God and we take the power of God out of our own lives. Sanctification is so important. Watch this. Romans chapter 1. I'm fixing to read you a set of scriptures here. And I realize America is jacked right now. Can I hear a good amen? But I also hear people say this all the time. I'll tell you, old America, it's world's worst it's ever been. Boy, Jesus must be coming back. I'm telling you, I've never seen this. We've never had this kind. I'm fixing to prove to you that the same thing that's going on in America in 2023 was going on when Paul wrote the book of Romans back then. It's been the same thing, and it's been, number one, the enemy using sex. It is what it is. Let me just. Romans 1, 21. Yes, they knew God. Look at me. Look. It is not enough for you to know God. It's not enough for you to know God. Oh, you believe in God? Well, about James says, well, you know what? Good for you, but the demons in hell even believe in God. Faith without works is dead. It's not enough that we just say that we know God, but we don't carry out his will in our lives. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God, or they wouldn't give thanks. And because they knew him but wouldn't worship him or give thanks, they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God really is. Can I tell you right now, we have a foolish idea in America of what God is and who God is. We have two views of God. One view says he's just a big sugar daddy. And he's so full of grace, and he never gets mad, and he never gets angry, and he's our sugar daddy. Go to him and ask what you will, and he'll give it to you. Or we have this other view, and we think he's some big, mean guy like the Wizard of Oz behind a curtain, waiting on us to screw up so he can zap us down and destroy us. God is a good God. God is a God of grace, but God is a jealous God. God is an angry God, and God is a God that will not put up with continued sin. He's just not. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship him or give him honor. So they got foolish ideas of God. Watch this. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. As I look at our country today, I see more people that have dark minds and more people that are confused about the basics of life. They don't even know if they're male or female. That's confusion. They don't even know if they're supposed to be same sex, opposite sex. They don't even know. Is it people and animals? I mean, it's crazy, messed up world. Our people are confused nowadays. Why? Because they knew God, but they wouldn't honor God, and they wouldn't carry out the sanctification process. And their minds got messed up, and their minds got dark. Watch this. You ain't going to hear this preached on TBN, and probably at most of the churches. Verse 24, Romans 24. Or 23, excuse me. Instead of worshiping God, they worshiped idols, and they worshiped people, and they worshiped birds and animals and reptiles. And verse 24 says, so God. Because they knew God, and they wouldn't worship him, and they worshiped others, and they were confused and dark. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things they wanted to do. So God gave them up. Said, okay, if you want to do all that goofy, stupid stuff, if you want to live sexually impure lives, if you want to continue to fulfill your own selfish desires, here you go. Go nuts. Go for it. See how that works out for you. Dear God, y'all, America's the greatest nation ever. And since the inception of America, we have been one nation under God. Our founding fathers believed the word of God. This nation was built on the word of God. And for the first time in over 250 years, the biggest majority of this nation have left the word of God, and they're living their own lives. And as I look at America and the state that we're in right now, God has abandoned us over to our own selfish desires and said, go nuts, chase down all that stuff and see what happens. Go for it. Go get it. Live these lives. And can I tell you, it's 11 o'clock. Can I preach to y'all? And you know what we're doing in the church? We're sitting back looking down our nose at everybody else, and we're sitting down going, well, you know what? If Donald Trump was in office, this wouldn't be happening. And then we're sitting over here going, well, Joe Biden's doing all this, and it's this person, and it's that person. And the fact of the matter, the problem in America is not outside the church. The problem in America has been inside the church, because we've got lazy and lax, and we've let our standards down, and we've let our guard down, and we've not lived sanctified lives, nor have we raised up the generations below us to live in holiness. When the church comes back, our nation will come back. Come on, somebody. I'm going to say that again. When the church comes back and quits playing games, when the church comes back and quits screwing around, when the church comes back and gets off porno, when the church comes back and quits spending night with her boyfriend or girlfriend over and over again, when the church comes back, when the church rises up in the power of God and lives according to the word of God, we will see revival once again. Watch what happened in the book of Romans when God said, okay, go. Three times it says he said, okay, go. I'll abandon you up. Watch this, verse 26, Romans 1, 26. Here's why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead started having sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with a woman, they burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish desires. Women on women, men on men, messed up, fouled up, screwed up. Watch verse number 29. The result of that, the result of knowing God but not honoring God, the result of God giving us up to our fleshly desires and men having sex with men and women having sex with women, the result is this, verse 29. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greedy, hate, jealousy, murder, quarreling, deception, division, malicious behavior, gossip, backstabbers, haters of God, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. They disobey their parents. They break their promises. They're heartless and they have no mercy. Sound like our country? We got more division now than ever. We got more hatred now than ever. We're divided, man. People are malicious, hateful. They lie. They hate God. And you know what the danger of that is? Verse 32 says, they know God requires justice. And worse than all of that, they're encouraging others to do it too. You know what gripes me more than anything? All those people that say they know God, but they're not honoring God. And they're going around, and the dude's got his little black thong on. He's about half naked in the back of a truck, and another guy's spanking him. And they're doing it in front of all these other kids and these younger generations. And they're taking drag shows to Abilene, Texas, and they're trying to get drag shows into the school system. They're trying to take others down the same road that they've went down, because misery loves company. And the church has got to stand up, and the church has got to fight. Let me read you some scripture. I got to try to get you out of here. Let me just say one thing. There is a responsibility of the born-again believer to live a sanctified life. There's your responsibility to grow. It's not my job to make you grow. Not another job, church's pastor's job, not your spouse. You got to have some responsibility to live out a life of sanctification. Watch this, Romans 6. Because there's this belief in the American church, get saved and that's it. Go on sinning. Get saved, go to church, sing a few songs, keep living the way you want to live, keep doing what you've always done, keep thinking the way you've always thought. Romans 6:15. Well then, since God's grace has set us free, does that mean we can just go on sinning? Of course not. If the wages of sin were death, then the wages of sin are death now. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You choose what you're going to be a slave to. Remember when you were a slave to sin? You couldn't quit drinking. Come on, somebody. You couldn't quit snorting it up. You couldn't quit sleeping around. You couldn't quit. You wanted to, but then God set you free. So now in the same way that you were a slave to that, you've been set free. Become a slave to wake up every day and say, I'm going to do what honors God. Be a slave to it. When you were slaves to sin, Romans 6:20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. When you were slaves to sin, like you didn't have to do right. Remember those days? You didn't have to do right. What was the result of that? What was the result of you not choosing to do right? Verse 21 says, you are now ashamed of the things that you used to do. How many of you look back over your life and you were ashamed of the things that you did? So why, if we're ashamed of the things that we did, why would we continue to want to live and be a slave to that lifestyle? Why wouldn't we want to be a slave to God that drives us away from the things that brought shame? But now we are free from the power of sin. Come on, somebody. You need to know that. The power of the blood and the power of the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The chains have been broken. You have been set free. You have been delivered. And I don't care what you are feeling. I don't care what you are thinking. Sin has no power over you. You have to understand that and believe that. Oh, Galatians 5. This is where Darren almost got it right. He got the right chapter, just not the right verses. Galatians 5. So, Cole, you say, okay, Cody, I get it. How do I do this? How do I do this? Galatians 5, 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Pretty simple. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit convicts. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Boom. How many believe this? If you're about to sin and the Holy Spirit leads you and says, brakes, pump the brakes. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit and pump the brakes, it will lead us to a life that does not sin. if we would just listen to the Holy Spirit. The sinful nature, that's me and you, like us in our flesh, I don't care how good you are, how holy you are, how much scripture you can quote, our sinful nature wants to do evil. We want to do the opposite of what the Spirit says. The Spirit desires for us to do opposite of our sinful nature. Watch this. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Can I tell you that? From now till Jesus calls you home, there will be a battle in your head, a battle in your heart, a battle in your home. There will be good and there will be evil. There will be God and there will be Satan. There will be light and there will be dark. These two forces live inside of us. I used to preach a long time ago, here's the way it is. Inside of each one of us, there's a good dog and a bad dog. There's a good dog and a bad dog. And can I tell you, whichever dog that you feed the most will be the strongest and be most dominant in your life. And the problem with us is we let the preacher feed the good dog on Sunday. But on Monday, we're feeding that bad dog with jealousy. And on Tuesday, we're feeding that bad dog with pornography. And on Wednesday, we're feeding that bad dog with lust. And on Thursday, we're feeding that bad dog with pride. And on Friday, we're feeding that bad dog with anger. And time Saturday hits and then Sunday rolls around, we come back to church and say, preacher, you better preach it back the other way. Bring some balance. Because the bad dog is kicking my butt. At some point, you and I have to say, if I'm going to live a sanctified life, I'm going to starve this old bad dog out, and I'm going to feed this old good dog the Spirit of God. Because when you follow, Galatians 5:19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, division, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, decision, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and sins like this. Let me tell you again, Paul says, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Choose to fulfill your flesh, and those things will come out. And when we choose to live in the flesh, it always causes pain and hurt for us and people around us. But the Holy Spirit, verse 22, will produce this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus, is that you? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Let me remind you, those who belong to Jesus have nailed their passion, have nailed their desires and their sinful nature to the cross, and they're covered in the blood, and those desires have been crucified on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe, and we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And Jesus, when we accepted him, took our sinful nature, took our anger, took our jealousy, took our bitterness, took our victim mentality. He took our sexual immorality, and he nailed it to the cross, and he blotted it out, and he set us free, and he made us new. And after he has done all of that, why wouldn't we want to give our total life and live wholeheartedly to bring glory to his name? Darren, come help me close, please. Verse 25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I'll say this to you today. Sanctification is God's will. It's God's will for you, and it's God's will for me. I got three kids, two boys and a girl. And those kids of mine, I don't totally understand it, but they want to be like their father. Clara says all the time, I'm a little you, ain't I, Daddy? They want to be like me. They want to think the way I think, react the way I want to think. And sometimes that makes me nervous, but it also makes your dad's heart kind of beat a little better. Shouldn't we want to be like our Heavenly Father? Shouldn't we want to be like our Heavenly Father? God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And listen, I know you're not there, because none of us are there. It's an ongoing process. But the question is, are you getting better? Because if you ain't no better, you're in a bad place. little by little, moment by moment, day by day, surrendering to the Holy Spirit and then being willing to make some changes. So for some of you today, I'm quite convinced that some of you in here today, you've never heard a message about sanctification because we don't preach it much in America anymore. So for some of you today, you're going to have to make this decision of, okay, you know what, I'm starting that process today. Knowledge is power, and I understand now that I've been rejecting God by not trying to be sanctified. I've been rejecting the power that would help me. So some of you can start that today, and then some of you in here, you need to realign because you've got quiet still and you've lowered your standards. You've lowered the bar. You've quit trying to be sanctified. So you need to start over and go, you know what? It only can happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. My prayer is that you would commit to strain and get better little by little, moment by moment, every day until you meet Jesus. And then when we do meet Jesus, we'll hear these words. Well done, my good and faithful servant, because you strived every day of your life to be more like me. Y'all stand on your feet and let's pray. Father, just speak to your people. Speak to all of us. Challenge us. Convict us. Encourage us. Do what you got to do. Speak and let our ears be open. God, speak hard things to us. Don't let us just be soft and easy. Mash on us. Convict us. To live sanctified lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord.